I am ill-equipped to speak with much authority on the issue of marriage and finances. Carrie and I are still a work in progress, I would say, on this stuff. Don't look at me with those eyes. And I'm just going to ask these questions and maybe just see what happens if the wisdom on the other sides of me can make better sense of this deal. Question one. Who primarily handles the finances?
Joe does on our part, but I have a lot of input.
Diane handles most of the money, and I try to clean up afterwards.
That is so unfair.
Hey, what do you have to clean up? Sounds like 12 baskets full.
What are we cleaning up? You need to answer the question.
Yeah, that's not true. Finances are one of those touchy issues, aren't they? They really can be. That's like Forrest Gump. That's all I have to say about that.
Life is like a box of chocolates. None of them have any money in them. All right. Actually, flesh this out just a little bit more. What do you mean Joe primarily does?
Well, he does all the bookkeeping. He does the, pays the bills. I keep up bugging him about whether we're staying within our budget. mostly because he's probably the spender in our family, and I'm the one who's more conservative about finances. Probably, I don't know if that was the way we were brought up, but I think his family was probably a lot less psyched about finances than what my family was. I think you develop your financial way of management from your previous family. And I think it really does cause a lot of tension in your marriage because families do it so differently.
That's kind of how we handle it too. Bob does the paying the bills and stuff, but I sit right with him while he's doing that. And I think that's why, it's just so that both of you know what's going on in the account. And and one thing we kind of newly have adopted is just been like, if there's a big purchase, we communicate about it. And we probably should have taken that on much earlier in our marriage.
What do you mean by big purchase?
Well, I think anybody, you know, everybody's budget's different, so that, you know, it might be $50 for you guys, it might be $200. It just, you know, it's what fits in each, you know.
So can I just see if I can summarize? Bob basically sits down with all the paperwork, bills, and things, writes out the checks, licks the envelopes and so forth, but somehow you're involved in, you lick the envelopes and put the stamps on. So you're both, that's how you keep on the same page.
We didn't do that until about 2 years ago, and I just thought it would be very wise if Diane and I would sit down together and go through it. Well, that was one of the reasons, so she would know, you know, what was going on. But the other thing is that, you know, we talk about where our money's going, how we're spending it. I get her input. And not only, you know, the great thing about a debit card is there's pros and cons, but one of the pros is you know exactly where, you know, cash for me just goes away so quickly, and you don't know where it.
Debit tracks your spending, and debit it doesn't lie to you.
Right. Exactly.
You also don't lose pennies, like in the couch.
Right. But we found it to be very good for both of us to sit down together and go through that. as a couple. I mean, at least after, you know, we've worked through it.
I now know why we normally sit on that end, so that I can keep a microphone and y'all can jostle as I ask you questions.
Yeah, That's okay.
I have a question for you now. All right, and you said something similar, except for here was what was interesting to me. You, Gloria, said that he is the one who will naturally spend too much, but you've apparently entrusted primary financial control to him. And that works for you. Because it seems to work from where I'm sitting. Of course, well, I don't see anything other than what you show.
I think what she's referring to is like paying the bills. So that's all money that's already been spent. But like the, you know, the electric and, you know, things that come up. So it doesn't have as much to do with everyday spending, but when it comes to paying the bills. But we do most of ours online, I mean, through the bank, and that we don't have to lick stamps and envelopes.
We don't do very much of that either.
Yeah, so I mean, that, and I usually just go ahead and do it. I don't wait till she comes around to do that. But we do talk about it and make sure stuff's been paid and so on.
Yeah, I paid a credit card bill this weekend, and I don't believe I mentioned it to you, did I? I didn't mention it. And actually what I did, babe, just since we're here and we're all talking, I figured out, you know, I want to get this thing paid off in 2 years. So I divided the amount by 24 months and paid that amount. So we can talk about that later, because that's a little bit more than what maybe you and I... So that'll be good for us to talk about later on.
But even if you have to talk about it here, at least it gets talked about. So
I'm actually trying to demonstrate how different, you know, and I really am saying, look, Carrie and I are still learning how this works. It was recently that I took primary control of the finances, and it happened because I began to see how disconnected I was emotionally from the trauma. Babe, what's the deal? Matthew 6. He takes care of the birds and the flowers, babe. Why are you so worried? Well, you would have to look at the documents to understand it, Timmy. So, you know, finally it was like, you know, I realized I wasn't doing my job as a Christ-like husband to actually carry the heavier load. I believe it's the man's job to take the initiative if he sees his wife under stress, to take the burden off, even if it means taking a burden onto himself. And so I was like, man, I better repent. So I did that and began to look at our stuff. And boy, that was a fun day. I called Carrie into the room to explain what I was finding. And then I would usher her out of the room so I wouldn't say anything hurtful. Then I would call her back into the room to explain what I was finding. And then I would usher her back out of the room. What is this? How did we get here? Well, we moved and we put carpet in the house and some things happened and yeah, I really honestly don't know. And I thought, I could get really mad and say this is her fault, but it's not. Because I left her high and dry. It's Tim's fault. I mean, I grew up in a household where I got paid per chore. I didn't get allowance. What allowance? You're paid for existing? Come on. That's like teaching them a welfare state. Anyway, so I got paid by the hour and I got paid by the job, mostly by the hour.
It's kind of capitalist though, isn't it?
It was very, but they also, mom and dad matched my savings at the end of the year into a Roth IRA. So like if I saved $3,000 during the year, this is high school kid, right, who's learning this stuff. If I saved $3,000 at the end of the year, they threw $3,000 into this, and as much as I shouldn't say this. They didn't match my savings at the end of the year. They matched my investment at the end of the year. As much of my savings that I invested in a Roth IRA, they matched, which was our down payment on our first house, which is gone now. But my point is, my parents taught me to not buy things. Like, I learned that you don't buy candy, gum, games, clothes, and all that stuff. You just mooch off your friends and save up money for a car. I gave a dude a loan for a drug dealer, actually, a loan for thousands of dollars in high school, and he paid me back. That was before I was a Christian, by the way. Not plus interest. Actually, I smoked it all. It was marijuana. But the point was that even in my ungodly state, Mom and Dad were teaching me some... Did that actually happen? Did I say that in Sunday school? I just said that. Well, it happened. I'm trying to give you my background to say, so when I come into this thing, I'm looking at it and I'm going, you save. You don't spend. You save. But that's not very realistic when you don't have money to save. So I'm like, we got a credit card bill. So what we should do is pay $600 a month till it's gone. And Carrie's like, we don't have $40 a month to part with. And I'm like, well, how did we get here? How could we have possibly gotten here? Well, we got here because we didn't have our heads together. That's what I'm saying. We didn't have our heads together. That's how we got here. And to get out, we're going to keep our heads together. Anyway, that was fun and really depressing to admit. How do the two of you make financial decisions? Wait, I should let Carrie say something. I shouldn't do that to you in public and then not have you respond. She says, I never smoked $2,000 a pot. How do the two of you make financial decisions, Joe and Glory? Go.
We talk and we talk and we talk. And he's ready to do it right away on those things, and I'm always holding back a little bit. You just have to talk it out. I don't know. We don't have a specific method of how to.
But I think the thing of talking is important, and that each one then is sensitive to the needs of the other. So if I'm ready to go ahead, you know, but I don't do that until I sense that she's at least somewhat in agreement, or, you know, it does seem like the right thing to do.
Okay, follow-up question to that. Do you remember any purchases where y'all were locked in a disagreement for some time?
If there were, I'd probably try to forget it. Right now, I can't. Nothing comes to mind, but probably were.
Well, I think we're probably locked in one right now. Do we need another computer, or do we stick with the old one? And I'm the one who's very frustrated with our present computer, but he wants to go ahead, and I'm like, do we really need to go ahead? I'm always the person who says, do we really need this? I'm not sure. we're still talking. And he looks, he's looking all the time about a new computer, and I'm still hesitant whether we actually need the computer that much.
Yeah. Yeah, part of my looking is just curious of what's out there. Tiger Direct refurbished. Haven't looked there. But anyway, yeah, and I guess I didn't think of that because it isn't that important to me. But yeah, it is something we have discussed, sure. So we're in limbo on that one right now.
A lot of this goes back to personality types and how, Bob, we're just like that. Bob will make the decision fast, and I would like to chew on it for at least a couple weeks if it's a large decision. And we were in a...
Define large.
Well, like when we bought our house.
That's big.
Okay. And he was like, we need to do it. And I was like, I think I just was not... No. I just did not want to bite off that much that fast.
That's because she just saw an old house in the middle of a cornfield, and the rest of her life stuck there. That's why she didn't want to make that decision
fast.
Which is
panning out that way, isn't it?
It is.
It has panned out that way.
And I grew up, we remodeled homes and rented or sold them, and so I went, there is so much more here than what meets the eye. I mean, I was kind of coming at it from that angle, but he was like...
In terms of work.
I knew it was going to be work, and I knew it was going to be more than we thought. But it turned out to be the best decision we made, because I was pushing for buying a newer home and, you know, putting the rest of that, our money that we had set aside.
What state would that be? Michigan?
Yeah. But, or back to Indiana, actually, is where I was pushing for. And we would have put it in the stock market and lost it all. So it was really the best decision.
Yeah, you would have.
Yeah. So I'm glad. And I think that's where some, you know, when you're in those kind of things, you need to submit to your husband. It's all on you anyway.
However, one of the things that I see to be a big source of contention in a marriage is when a husband will lord it over his wife, when he is the breadwinner, and he, you know, when you say I do, when you become one, your finances is a joint thing, and your money is her money, and her money is your money, and you make the decisions together. You don't, and that's, you know, one of the things that I'm guilty of is, you know, I'll go through that good old trail of debit card, and I'll see, you know, how can you spend that much at Walmart? How can you spend that much at Food Lion? But I can pop off and spend twice that much in one purchase, and it, you know, so I'm learning to, And that's one of the reasons why we communicate and we sit down together and do the budget and do the bills together. Because I don't like to admit it, but I can be an impulse spender. Not on...
But you don't like to admit it. In other words,
when you're called on it, you'll have a lot of reasons for
exactly.
why it wasn't an
oh,
impulse.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. But if I really want to be honest, it was impulse. So, men, I want you to be real careful, because primarily you are the ones that earn the money. However, that does not give you a right to say, primarily, this is how we're going to do this. You need to get your wife's input. You need to be sensitive to her needs.
In our case, like, I basically buy things to run the household. So, I mean, Bob just never plays that card of, hey, I make the money, ask me every dime before you spend it. He never plays that card.
Well, and that wouldn't work in our case either, because she's a home health nurse. She makes more than I do. So that, you know, you throw that one out the window. But yeah. But she doesn't. But what I did want to say about I think one of the things I'm trying to learn is to recognize that her reservation about spending things, there's a lot of wisdom in that, and I need to listen to that. I'm trying to listen to that and take that into consideration.
I just want to say something. You know, this you're saying that everybody's finances should be a joint thing. That's not a popular idea anymore in marriages these days. And I think we ought to speak to that a little bit. Do each of you?
Read the question to the microphone so the people on the audio can hear
it. Okay. For those of you who can't read, do each of you have your own money, or is it a shared account? That's what it says up there. We have shared accounts. So we don't have anything. I don't think we have anything individual.
But we know couples who do not have shared accounts, and they went into the marriage deciding that they did not want to have shared accounts. That was a red flag to us right away, because it shows some mistrust or misunderstanding about, how we function together in a marriage. And it's a really, really big thing. I mean, it's so much easier to say, we can separate because the financial thing is not working out or something. And it's not the right attitude to go into a marriage with.
That's right. Just so you know, I don't buy a CD without talking to Carrie. I don't show up at Walmart and say, I would like this new Eric Clapton CD. I feel like buying it. I make the money. I'm going to buy it. Bull crap. No way. Selfish, selfish, selfish. There's no way I would do that. I would talk to my wife before I bought a $12 CD.
Maybe because you know that's an issue for you. Maybe some things might not be an issue for you, but if music and buying music stuff is an issue for you, you're more sensitive to the fact that you know that would be an issue for Carrie.
Now, what it boils down to is, whose money is it? It's our money.
But just the reason that you do that is more because finances are so tight and you're saying every single purchase makes a difference. Not necessarily that everybody has to talk about every purchase, because if we had, if we made $200,000 a year, it wouldn't be.
But that's something that we've grown into. We've grown into, you budget for that kind of thing. You budget $20 a month for Tim's entertainment, though he won't spend it because it's not really there. It's just a pretend budgeted number that doesn't have, any correlation in reality. So he's not going to do it. But, yeah. I'm kind of pushing that because here's the impression I get from talking to some of y'all. The man buys whatever the heck he wants and then gives his wife a stipend. I'm like, dude, if you're going to play that game, you better pay her by the hour. Right. And it better be what she's worth.
That's right.
And
I was just thinking the same thing. If you really want to find out what your wife is worth financially, you cannot put a dollar unit value on what she's worth. But you think about her not being in the picture. Say she's not in the picture. What would it cost you to take care of your children, to educate your children, to cook and clean? And yeah. I mean, the point is, well, I think we covered that last week.
Paying for that puts you in another category.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right, Joe.
I'm just saying.
The point is, I believe that a wife should have an amount of discretionary spending to do what she wants with if she doesn't work. Diane's been working at the school, so I've told her the money she makes at the school, which is not a lot, but hey, that's your money to do what you want with. After, yeah, okay. But see, for example, I've just come to accept that every month I'm going to have a $100 people's bill to pay off. That's part of her,
That's kids' clothes.
Yeah, it is. That's true. That's not quite fair. But what I'm saying is, don't make your wife have to fight for things. I mean, if you really get down to it, it's don't make her have to feel like she's. Yeah, don't make her feel that way. Talk to her, communicate, find out what her needs are, and I think And I'm not saying you have to do your bills together, but since we've started doing them together. It's that we understand each other's wants and needs and how we think about spending our hard-earned money better.
And he's more understanding of, that's why you've got to, spend that at Food Lion, or that's what you have to spend at,
How many guys go shopping with their wives once in a while? That's good. That's a good number.
Because and
it costs to live.
It does cost to live, and things keep going up, and that's not news to all you, but,
I didn't think I was going to say anything this morning, but it just wants to jump out. But anyhow, one of the things that I think Dorothy and I have learned, and I wished I would have learned this long time ago. And to my chagrin, I didn't. But Dorothy and I pray together regularly, in the morning especially. And we tell God that our finances, our money, our things, everything we have belongs to Him. And we ask His direction constantly for our expenditures and everything. And I hear her heart and hear her pray, and I fully trust her. Her expenditures, I think it's the same here. Now, we've been married now 48 and a half years, so it's, you know, it's a long way down the road. And we've had to learn some things the hard way, but it's such a peace and relief and relaxing to know that what you have is God's, and He's going to orchestrate it, and He comes through. Just our testimony.
Yeah, and you mentioned trust, and that's so important. And I just wanted to put a little different twist on this question, that there probably are cases where, just because of practical reasons, it's better to have separate bank accounts. Probably in a situation where the trust is not there, or one spouse somehow has a tendency to spend too much, or, well, I'm thinking of if one spouse has an addiction, for example, and they're using everything, or old debts, or whatever it might be, there could be situations where one spouse has to somehow let them deal with it. And I'm not sure of all the legal implications of that, but I think there could be a case made for some situations where there should be separate bank accounts, just as a matter of being responsible and to take care of themselves. So that's another side to it. But I do think ideally there should be the trust there that it can be shared, the things can be shared. I don't know what's going on over here on the other side. There's something.
Well, I've hurt my wife's feelings is what's going on in the middle. One of the things that I can do from time to time is what I've done this morning, and that is not have my nose in where our money is going enough to understand why it's going there. It's easier for me to let Carrie handle some of the hard things and then sit back and ask questions. Why is this so high? Why is this bill so high? How can you spend $128 every time you go to Walmart? And the reality is, if I would get my nose in the deal, go shopping with my wife more frequently, I would question her decisions significantly less.
Yeah. That's what I found.
I'm sorry, babe. And I would point out that she is incredibly frugal. She doesn't purchase brand new clothes for our children. She is very careful to... Oh, very, very carefully. She cuts coupons and the like. So I do trust her a lot. It is, however, as tight as we are, still just infuriating the cost of a Walmart transaction of any kind. I'm sorry that I've given this group the impression that you're not frugal.
Would you like to respond?
Apparently we're going to talk after church. Have we covered all these?
I don't know why there is such a, with finances and money, there becomes a, it's almost like if you can't make it, you should be embarrassed. And it really should not be like that, especially in our Christian circles. And often, you know, it becomes a pride issue too. If you have plenty and boy, you just, you know, can balance everything. And it's not like that. And I think that's a worldview that we've accepted. And we need to think about why we put so much value on that kind of thing and why we allow it to be so, and yeah, you know, you have to have money to live, but why do we make it so, have so much power?
This is just a connection that I don't know if this is at all what Carrie feels or not, but I'm just going to say something, because it's something that over 25 years, we've almost 25 years, is something that as we've worked through it, the person that I want to disappoint the least, when, and it seems like finances is such, it's such a huge one, and the person you want to disappoint the least, when there's a frustration there and you feel like you disappoint them, it's very hard. And I would encourage men to, and a lot of times when we would talk about it, his frustration wasn't so much with me, like what you said, Tim. It's not so much with the person, with your spouse. It's frustration over how things are. Maybe there's not work. You know, when the kids need shoes and they've outgrown them and there's not work, you get shoes. It goes on the credit card. It goes somewhere. You find things like that. And then what happens is you do find yourself in a place where you're looking at things and thinking, how did we get here? And when one shows frustration over it, then you take, it's hard, it was very hard for me not to take that upon myself, that it was my fault. Mm-hmm. You take it very personally, and then you add on to it. Not only is the situation frustrating, but then you feel like you're disappointing and not doing the role in the way that you should be doing it. And it's very hard, I think, speaking from a woman, it's very hard on their self-esteem when they feel like they are disappointing other people, especially the one that they care about the most. It does get better the more you talk and share your hearts.
With me, it was a pride issue. Before we had a family crisis, I prided myself. I never wrote a check. I worked, and Bobby paid the bills. And I would get frustrated. Where, what do you mean you spent $200 at the food line? Where's your money? But I never said that. But then we had a personal crisis, and she wasn't there. And I had to go to the grocery store. I didn't even know where a rubber band was. I didn't even know where our accounts were. I had not a clue with anything, with our supplies, what was paid, what was not paid. And then here I was dealing with a emotional. So my advice is be prepared. Know your finances. Know what your wife, what she goes through when she goes to the grocery store, start going with her. And I'm like, wow, I really messed up because it cost a lot of money. And it cost a lot of money to buy a pair of shoes. So it took that for me to realize what she goes through. Now we sit down and we go grocery shopping together. We go over our budget. And I know where the rubber bands are in the house now. I didn't before. And so it took that for us to realize we depend 100% on each other.
Did y'all answer this yet?
What advice would you give to a young couple about money? That's a hard one. I think one of the things is just realize that this is something that's very close to each one of us. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. I mean, he made that very close connection. And so we've got to, how we deal with money is really connected with how we relate to each other. And so take it very seriously. Keep talking about it. It's about as specific as I can get.
I think one of the things that's been hardest for me to understand and admit to is that when I get angry at my wife over finances, number one, that's a fallacy because we're one. We're in it together. But when I get angry with her, I show her that material things and money are more important than her and her emotions and her feelings. Listen, men, the Bible says our wives are our treasure. You know, I was pretty proud of myself. Diana's been running my car lately. And, you know, I sort of like my car. And I noticed that I came home from my little trip, and, you know, she'd hit a curb somewhere and took a chunk out of the tire. And
with the Acura?
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it was dirty, but, you know, I was like, hey, my wife sacrificed so I could get away for a week. And and the point is, I shouldn't even be thinking this way. I shouldn't even be thinking that way, you know. Oh, you know, my car, my wife, my car. Our wives are our treasure. Don't lord over them the finances. And when you get upset about them, you're showing them that the money and the material things are more important than they are. Now, I'm not saying we don't communicate, don't be careful, don't, you spend more than you make, you're eventually going to get into trouble, and that's why you have to communicate with one another. But guys, don't try to blame your wives because they're spending for the things they need to keep the household going. Do it together. Communicate. Treasure your wife over your material things.
And one thing we advise young couples, too, is do that kind of thing. Go to the store together. Know what it takes, but also to know your budget and know, at what point? Is it $25 you guys talk about? Is it $15? Is it $50? Is it $200? Where do you go, this is my line of where I have to talk to him, to my spouse about purchasing something?
Okay, yeah, it gets especially critical, I think, when money is tight. You know, when there's sort of enough money, a lot of these issues don't come up. But basically, you've got to make things. Somebody said, when your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep is your downfall. And it's kind of where it is.
The fact that you can just say that like that is kind of impressive.
Well, I have to admit, I was thrown off here by my wife's emotion, but I do find this useful to be a public example of just how close to our hearts these issues of where the money goes and how we relate to each other in that. Yeah. Bless you guys. Thanks.